You might be after a set of shiny new wheels this September, but did you know you could get one that's almost new with only a few thousand miles on the clock and save thousands of pounds? Well, Motorpoint have got you covered. They've got thousands of cars, all nearly new with low mileage, at unbeatable prices. Plus, almost all their cars are still under manufacturer's warranty. And those that don't come with Motorpoint warranty. So peace of mind comes as standard with Motorpoint. And if all that wasn't enough, Motorpoint offer a 14-day money-back guarantee to make sure you've picked the right car for you. 14 days to make sure you love it or your money back. So why buy new this September when you can buy nearly new with Motorpoint and save thousands? Get straight to unbeatable prices. Get straight to motorpoint.co.uk.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
Radio X. Welcome to the Johnny Vaughan 4 till 7 thing podcast. Full complement of team members this week. We've got the Woodman Gaff.
Afternoon, John.
Both Simons here. Big Si. Little Si. Say hello, little Si.
Hi.
The newsreader popped by.
Hiya.
I can tell you now, we recorded this just after the Pet Town Quiz. Is the Pet Town Quiz going to be in the... No, we'll leave it out. I think it's best if it stays...
It is best.
I think best if it stays out of the podcast. It's not of general interest.
No, but it's a nice place to
It's just a bit of fun.
To keep my win.
It's,
you know,
just a bit of fun.
It got ugly.
Okay. I tell you what is going to entertain them, though, in the absence of you gloating. I reveal Prince Philip's barbecue trick that made the Queen mad. It's not much of a trick, really.
Not really, no.
It just involves sort of, well, you'll find out.
Yeah.
Plus, I test listeners' sartorial intelligence with a statement about shoes that came from a barrister. And I hypothesise the idea of Elvis as an undercover agent for the CIA, along with the 4 till 7 thing players. In this case, Gavin, who's in the role of John Lennon.
Yeah.
I will play Elvis, the king. Enjoy it.
Radio X.
Happy Monday to you. Actually, I'm instituting a new thing, which is Cheeky Monday.
Oh,
what's
yeah?
that?
Yeah, it's a Cheeky Monday.
What's Cheeky
Monday?
Well,
it's because I didn't have much of a weekend. I was working Saturday. Obviously, we do the kickabout.
Sure.
And then I was doing a bit of rare filming after that.
Mm.
And then just family stuff kept coming. And I just didn't have...
It never kicked off the weekend, yeah.
Yeah! that I really needed. So I'm feeling really perky today.
You never had the pickup truck moment.
No. So I'm instituting now Cheeky Monday.
Okay.
83936, if you're planning a bit of a Cheeky Monday, if you've had a bit of a flat Friday...
Yeah.
You know, sensible Saturday.
Yeah.
Slow Sunday.
Slow Sunday. Yeah. Nice.
Snoozy Sunday.
Yeah. Sensible Saturday.
You sure?
And what did I say for
Flat Friday?
Flat Friday. Yeah. And now you're just feeling like it's Monday. You know the pub's going to be nice and empty.
Yeah.
You can actually get served.
No queue.
Normally a game on.
Oh.
If you're planning a bit of a Cheeky Monday.
Yeah.
You think,
yeah,
I might start a Cheeky Monday. One of those ones that I don't know where it came from. But I tell you what, I felt terrible the rest of the week. please, 83936, your Cheeky Monday plans, please. So I had a bit of a flat weekend. How was yours?
Yeah, similar. Quite a quiet one.
Yeah,
quite
okay.
A flat one.
Cheeky Monday. Let's have a pint after work.
Yeah, that sounds like a good plan.
Let's go
actually.
For a cheeky little pint. We'll just start with a cheeky pint. We're not going to go mad.
It's Monday.
We don't know where it's going to go.
Mad Monday.
The advantage for me is that Milton, my newborn, well, he's a year old now. Unbelievable, isn't it? He goes to bed at 7.
Right.
Exactly the time we finish. Plus, I've done the morning with him.
Wow.
And really, so I can go out for that. I don't sort of feel like a bad parent.
No.
I sort of feel like, actually, I'm not disturbing him when I get back.
Yeah. In a way, you're helping.
I'm helping.
You know, you're relaxing yourself. You're coming in happier.
Yeah.
Yes.
You're How not about like tomorrow a grump- morning? How does it feel then?
Mm.
Terrible Tuesday.
Yeah.
Well,
Radio X.
I had a quiet weekend. I've just instituted Cheeky Monday. And why not?
Why not, indeed?
Why not, you know?
Yeah, why not?
If you're going to feel rotten, do it on your boss's time all week at work. You know what I mean? Why feel rubbish on Saturdays and Sundays?
Yeah, exactly.
Now you're cutting into your free time. I suddenly realise that's really part of what the man wants, isn't it?
Right.
The man only wants you unproductive on your own time. It's like the roadwork theory. They always put all the roadworks up. Really, for the weekend. Because they don't mind, because you're not travelling anywhere commercially.
Right.
That's now your time.
Yes.
Monday, boom, it's got to be clear. We do essential work on weekends because there's no lorries.
Right. So but it's stopping everyone going.
It's not cutting into the man's time.
Yes.
So when you exercise Cheeky Monday, Oh, you cheeky monkey. When you're exercising, oh, cheeky Monday. No, sorry, that's a bit of commentary from a Chelsea 1955 championship film.
Wow.
And and the commentator's just, it's a bit of full film I've got.
Yeah.
And I can't remember who it is. It's one of Drake's ducklings. He just nutmegs someone, and the commentator goes, "Oh, you cheeky monkey!"
Does he?
Yeah,
that's a football
so
commentary.
Added on afterwards. Yeah, yeah. Anyway, Cheeky Monday's been instituted. Thank you so much. Loads of you are Sharon of Somerset, particularly, is having a very cheeky Monday. I love a cheeky Monday. It's taken me all day to cut the lawn. Every time I empty the grass box, I have a cheeky pint.
Wow.
Still not finished. Nearly out of cider.
That's a big lawn.
That's
a big
lawn.
That's a big lawn. It's an 8-pint lawn. Gab, what else do we have for Cheeky Monday?
Stu in Widnes has got the week off work. He's having a Cheeky Monday. He's having a nice chill day painting his man cave. He's cracked open a cold one. Then he's off to the pub quiz later.
How about that?
He's unbelievable.
He's going to have a few swigs there. He says, and also he's going to carry that on all week because he's on holiday.
Yeah, lovely. Yeah.
Whoops. Suns, what you got there?
Sam says he's going for a cheeky paraglide, then a cheeky salsa after work tonight.
What the dance or the sauce?
I'm going to assume the dance. There's quite a lot.
Or is it both?
Or is it his word for something? Cut to a Jag pulling in a travel lodge.
Just here for my Monday cheeky salsa.
Cut to a man, cut to a well-dressed man getting out of a Range Rover.
Sure.
At a cheap hotel. Here's one for you. I went to a pub to go to the loo. I had to buy a pint as cover. You do. You absolutely do.
You absolutely do. That's the rules.
Then I bought 4 pints as a cover and a bag of pork scratchings.
Wow.
Yeah. And then, right. Go on, Gab, what you got?
I love a cheeky Monday. I play football, then call in at the pub on the way home. I end up getting a taxi back and getting the missus to drop me at the pub on the school run, get a pub breakfast, then say hi. Say to the customer, I've had issues getting materials when I arrive after 9 to work. The very cheeky Monday. The joys of being self-employed. Johnny the Builder.
That's Johnny the Builder. Thank you very much, Johnny. I've got to tell you, there's a cheeky Monday and there's just a guy who sounds like he's got a problem. I've got to tell you. He sounds like you've got to do some work. And I'm just so glad I'm not one of your clients. Yeah, I'll probably go to the pub and then tomorrow morning I'll have a pub breakfast and then go on, tell us what you got.
This one says, hey, TJ and the gang, but not tank top side.
Simon, did you hear that? Sorry, little Si bought himself a tank top over the weekend. He thinks it's all the rage.
Tank top Si, yeah.
Tank top Si.
It goes on, our cheeky Monday consists of cold ciders in the sun, celebrating our 20-year anniversary.
Happy anniversary!
Congratulations.
Loving the show. Love from Sean, Simon and Fletcher the Bulldog from sunny Barbados.
How about this? Thank you. Happy anniversary to you, Sean, Simon. And also, I don't know how long Fletcher's been around, but all right, Fletch. No, with bulldogs.
Oh, it's a different language, isn't
it? No, you wuzzle fuzzle them.
Oh, do you?
Because they've got these sort of hairy lips.
Yeah.
And above there.
Yeah.
You go up really close and you just go, wuzzle fuzzle, wuzzle. Sorry. But you wuzzle their fuzzles. John, I got a darts match tonight, so a few stellars and banter. Bring on Cheeky Monday, said Alex from Kent. Just crept out of work early to get a McDonald's. Cheeky as you like.
Very,
that is just a bit cheeky.
Very cheeky.
I mean, it's not a cavalier Chinese.
No.
You know, Johnny, I wasn't having a cheeky Monday, but I am now. That's Kim in Kent. Thank you so much. Someone else, their site Portaloos have disappeared over the weekend. Sent home at 11 a.m. on full pay.
Oh,
what cheeky, what cheeky Monday. That is so cheeky.
Radio X.
Gav.
Yeah.
Sunta.
Yes.
A woman who speaks, quote, perfect English. Why put it in quotes then?
Yeah.
Mm.
Why don't you say perfect English? Why?
Right.
A woman who speaks, bunny ears, perfect English.
Yeah.
Why? It's either perfect English or it's not.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Gav, you speak perfect English.
Right, but why is it being emphasised?
Who are they quoting from?
Exactly.
Has been found on a rock in the sea off a Croatian island. But she can't say who she is or how she got there. It's not that she doesn't... She doesn't know. She's not saying, I'm not telling you.
She's not being coy.
That's for you to find out, isn't it?
She has some kind of amnesia.
Perhaps if you get to know me better, I might tell you who I am and where I'm from. Let's just say I'm Linda.
Okay.
Let's just say I might have worked in a chip shop in Plymouth.
Yeah,
I'm not saying. I might be Linda. I might be. Anyway, she was on her own A fisherman was unable to reach her for fear of getting stranded on the rocks. So she doesn't know how she got there.
Oh,
she's
on a rock, on a thing
you can't get to. He contacted police. She was eventually rescued. 14 people. They had to walk 2 miles over jagged rocks to reach her.
My God.
Detectives have released her details. Officially, she's got no passport, papers, or phone. She could barely drink water because she was so weak. She's 5'4", shoulder length hair. And she survived on this little island where there's loads of bears.
Oh, my God.
What a holiday.
Is she a superhero?
I don't know. I just don't know, guys. I don't know. It could be Agatha Christie. Look, because she went missing, didn't she? She didn't know she'd gone, but in actual fact, she'd found out stuff about her husband, hasn't she? But she was found... I mean, it's weird that she was in the area at all. It's an extremely inaccessible part of the bay with terribly sharp rocks, literally razors. There's no life or animals. There's a few wild boars and bears because they swim there in search of food. Boars swimming there.
Swimming to an island full of sharp rocks.
Anyway, I think it could be a mermaid that's being punished by Neptune. That's the only solution. Right. Sherlock Holmes said, and I know lots of other people have said it different ways.
Yeah.
You rule out the impossible. Mm. Whatever's left, however improbable, must be the answer.
Right.
The answer is
deductive reasoning.
The answer is she's a mermaid. X.
This is your man, Paul Chowdhury.
Hi, Paul.
And I've got a brand new podcast.
Amazing. Tell us more.
It's called The Paul Chowdhury Podcast.
Great name. Who have you got on it?
Well, I've got my old friend, Russell Howard. Another old friend, James Acaster. And once my friends stopped returning my calls, I was forced to speak to people I didn't even know.
The Paul Chowdhury Podcast. Listen now on Global Player.
Radio.
X.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thang.
Sometimes I just, you know, flight of fancy, I just tap into my phone, I just go, coastal properties, yeah?
Mm.
Do you know what I really hate? When you see something, you think, that looks amazing. That's nice and tiny and cozy. That'll be cheap.
Yeah.
There's a little weekend. It's not. You sort of see 1,400,000. And then you read about it, and it'll say something like, a fisherman's Wellington house, a fisherman's welly drying hut, or a hookman's cottage, formerly a shack used by fishermen to keep hooks.
It smells a bit fishy when it's warm.
No, but it's now 1 million, and you sort of think they make it all quaint.
Tackle shed.
Yeah, a tackleman's loft overlooking the sea. They are. That'd be nice little thing.
That's all right.
It's
there's
2 bedrooms.
Yeah,
you know,
a bit small, but it's there.
No parking.
It's lovely.
A quaint loft used by tacklemen to oil pulleys.
£3.6 million.
£3.6 million.
What the hell?
Yes,
it's not right.
No, it drives me mad, Gav.
It's not fair.
And then suddenly you get things like an imposing 14-bedroom property. And you're thinking, Christ, Allah, who could possibly? And you're sort of thinking, 250,000.
I know.
Think there's no logic to
it's
this.
It's the same. It's cheaper.
And the reason is it's in town,
right?
And it sort of overlooks a Morrison's
and has a bad history.
Yeah, listen, you go one street away.
Yeah,
in those
all
sort
over,
of Devon Cornish towns, and you are knackered. There's no price on it at all.
None.
This is a glimpse of a river.
It's quadruple.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. The garage is often worth more than anything, especially if the garage was a former Sailman's stitching house.
That's right. Well, the ultimate are those beach huts. They just go up and up and up
every
year.
Right.
And they're always in the newspaper. Every spring, there's a beach hut story.
It's just a shed with a view.
Literally,
on sand.
Yeah.
Right, and it's worth
shed
every
on sand.
Sorry, sold.
I mean, they are gorgeous.
I'd like it if you bought a beach hut and did actually just downgrade it.
Yes.
They're always expecting you to upgrade them. You look inside, they go, it's nice now, I've got a split level in there. A little gas cooker. It's really nice. We sit there and we just like to stare at the sand.
I'd like to buy one and go down 60 floors.
Ooh. Yeah, fantastic.
Just have a really amazing,
build a hotel.
A massive one.
That's just the reception.
It's just
people
massive.
Coming there thinking, that's 500 people going there. So, you know, it's gone down 19
stories.
It's looking at a skyscraper.
It's like the Pentagon
then,
down there.
And then build out to sea.
That's right, by miles.
Oh, by miles, like that sort of
football pitch.
No, like those mine shafts in Newcastle.
Yes.
There's one mine shaft in Newcastle that goes, I've told you this before, it goes so far out to sea, more than 12 miles,
right,
that if a miner was at the face, technically he could buy duty free and own tax free because he's more than 12 miles off the coast.
Wow.
So I'm thinking, open it up.
Yeah.
Get a train down there.
do it.
Terrifying. And have like a Newcastle duty free shop, 12 miles.
Put a DJ on?
Yeah, stick
a... Oh, man.
Stick a DJ... What do you mean? Do you mean a... Oh,
nothing
right, I
thought... too bassy, though, because you want to wobble that cave.
I was really confused. I thought you meant a dinner jacket. Well,
both.
Why? I'm going down a mine. I guess it wouldn't get dirty. Nice idea.
Nice.
Yeah, wear a dinner jacket.
Yeah, absolutely.
That'd be nice, right. Yeah, yeah. Right, are we going down a mine to get some duty free, lads? Yep, tuxedos on.
Radio X.
Nixon couldn't stand John Lennon.
Why?
Couldn't stand it because he's anti-Vietnam War. So
okay,
he's like
yeah,
a sort
yeah.
of British guy.
Yeah.
You know, he's like a guest in his house.
Sure, difficult propaganda
yes.
moment. Yeah,
and
yeah.
Probably Lennon came across as honest.
Right.
Which would have gone down well with Tricky Dicky.
Sure.
I'm not a crook. Anyway, Gav, Nixon impressions. Because the greatest comes. Never be petty. Anyway, Gav.
Go on.
Although President Nixon, to be fair to him, his speech off the cuff, allegedly, his farewell speech to the White House staff when he was kicked out of office and probably had the biggest fall of any man in history. The only president he kicked out like that.
Yeah, got in a helicopter and off he went.
Yeah, off he went. But his farewell speech is beyond Shakespeare in its beauty.
It is amazing.
It's unbelievable. You can listen to it online or just read it. The essential bit starts, because the greatness comes when things... And then you'll read on.
Yeah.
It's basically, the greatness comes when things don't go always good for you, but the greatness comes when you're really tested.
Right.
When you take some knocks, some disappointments. And you read on from then, it's just the most beautiful thing I've ever read in my life. But he hated Lennon. And it turns out...
Yeah.
He told Elvis to spy on John Lennon.
Did he?
Yes.
Yeah, because Elvis visited and got an FBI badge.
Yes, yes,
him,
yes. When Elvis went missing, film. Yeah. No, he wanted, a DEA badge.
Oh, that's right, DEA, yeah.
And Elvis, he just walked into the White House.
Heavy eyelidded Elvis, I think.
Yeah, really out of his head on pills. and he just laid out all his badges. And he goes, well, there's a badge from that's a drug enforcement members. I'll tell you now. Anyway, he said... while the Beatle was living in New York. So it's obviously Nixon thought they all know each other, these musicians.
Yeah.
Not realizing Elvis didn't fraternize at all. Colonel Tom kept him away from everything because he was so pale and white. Elvis couldn't use a knife and fork. That's how far down the food chain he was. He ate everything with his hands. Or he could handle a spoon.
He had his entourage, the same five, six guys, didn't he? Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, I'm just thinking... Imagine Elvis outside, you're John Lennon, and you sort of see movement in the undergrowth. You're thinking, what's going on out there, Yoko?
There's a fella out there looking through the
window. I think you've seen us. Get away. I'll just get my...
No, he's wearing sunglasses.
Maybe I shouldn't have worn a white jumpsuit. It looks like he's got a...
Undercover Elvis.
Suspicion? Why must I... Suspicion? I think you've seen us.
Yoko, come and look at this. It's unbelievable.
Okay, get back to the pink Cadillac. I think you see us. Hide in that pink Cadillac. Elvis, in a pink suit going for the underground. He's seen us now. Suspicion. I must say. He's got a suspicion. I see. This is Elvis 1, Elvis 2. I see movement in about a white piano.
Tell the president.
Looks like he's naked in that bed. Doing some kind of protest. Anyway, the mind boggles.
It's mad.
I got my white jumpsuit trapped on a twig. Yeah. Let's have a quick tune. Our suspicious minds.
Radio X.
This is Prince Philip's barbecue trick.
What?
Yeah. Go on. Really annoyed.
Now you've got my attention.
Really annoyed his wife.
Okay, go on.
Oh, I must put my poetic tribute to him, ER Indoors. Mm. I think you'll enjoy it, Gav. Well, you've heard a bit of it.
Yeah.
It's an epic. Right, Gav, sure. Get this.
Go on.
The Duke of Edinburgh, according to Valentine Lowe in the Times paper record, the Duke of Edinburgh was long noted as a skilled practitioner of the barbecue. He actually... designed and had built his own barbecue.
Yeah, I remember you telling me that
before.
Which
exactly fits in the back of a Land Rover.
That's so awesome.
I hope it was called the Balmoral. Yeah. But it's really good because there's a little shelf he's done in there. It folds up.
Nice.
There's old footage of it, but it folds up so it'll keep your chicken and stuff warm at the top on shelves,
man.
Going down on various levels. Really good. Anyway.
An aristocrat.
He's
literally.
An aristocrat. Yeah. Yeah, an aristocrat. But... there's one aspect of his skills. He was a skilled barbecue guy. Mm. Didn't go down well with the Queen.
What?
His His barbecue trick.
What was it?
What, the barbecue trick? You want to know? Well,
sure.
What he used to do, he used to, during barbecues at Balmoral, Philip would remove the lid from a tube of mustard.
Right.
And then he'd get one of the kids to hold it between their hands.
Mm.
And then he would clap the hands together really hard and fire the mustard up to the ceiling. And he found it hilarious. Now, he loved practical jokes, which we mustn't hold against him, because generally practical jokers are really nasty people.
Sure.
And generally lack any sense of humour. That's why they do it.
Right.
It's to sort of make up for that.
Yeah, it's root one humour,
because they're normally practical jokes. He's actually just someone who's very cruel.
Yeah, it's being a bit cruel. Yeah,
yeah, it is. No, most practical jokes are. It's quite weird. If you look at a practical joke, shh, don't tell him what.
Ha ha, look at him.
Just destroyed everything he loves.
Yeah.
We're going to make him look an idiot. Yeah. But honestly, practical jokes is like when you... It's always those... People are always surprised that, no, you know, he's a big practical joker, that particularly cruel figure from history. You're thinking, no, it doesn't surprise me at all, actually.
That's right, yeah. Doesn't I always think of that when I hear about characters. I bet he was a real practical joker.
Yeah, but generally it's on, it's surprising that they were a practical joker.
Right, right.
Because they were cruel.
Yeah.
A cruel dictator, like, you know, sort of, you might find Colonel Gaddafi.
Or Saddam,
Or Saddam Hussein, they loved a practical joke. What did they do? Oh, they once electrocuted someone's bed. They got on it and literally hit the ceiling. Yeah, right. Anyway, he'd squish your hands together to fire the mustard up to the ceiling, Prince William said. He used to get in a lot of trouble with my grandmother for covering most of the places where we had lunch with mustard on the ceiling. The marks, according to Peter Phillips, his oldest grandchild, are still there. The Duke of Sussex said, more than anything, I miss his sense of humour, but I miss her. And then he sort of comes up with some just typical stuff. Other stuff he says... is that Prince Charles has described how his father used to watch him play football as a child, and he used to shout from the sidelines, "Stop scratching your backside, get up and do something." What I love about Prince Philip is that he founded the WWF, the World Wrestling Federation.
Yes, he did, famously. Yeah,
it was actually. It's the World Wildlife Fund.
Yeah.
But he's such a strong influence that that's why the WWF Wrestling changed its name to WWE.
You're kidding.
No, it's because
they changed.
Yeah, they changed it.
Oh, my God.
Because Prince Philip's gone on and said, you can't call it that. It's a real muddle. I can't be president of that.
Be off with you.
Yeah, but what I love about it is he's the founder of the World Wildlife Fund.
Yeah.
And this is what people find, you know, men like him who hunted and fished and just...
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
He's not only the founder of the World Wildlife Fund, but he is the only member of the royal family... and part of the Wildlife Fund, to have hunted, shot, killed a tiger.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he still years later does that.
That's amazing.
Yes.
This is your man, Paul Chowdhury.
Hi, Paul.
And I've got a brand new podcast.
Amazing. Tell us more.
It's called The Paul Chowdhury Podcast.
Great name. Who have you got on it?
Well, I've got my old friend, Russell Howard, another old friend, James Acaster. And once my friends stopped returning my calls, I was forced to speak to people I didn't even know.
The Paul Chowdhury Podcast. Listen now on Global Player.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
Radio X.
Hey, guys. The old debate's raised its head again.
Which one? The oldest debate
in legal history. Now, I really stand firm on this.
Okay.
And I you've got to take a position. And
right.
If I just say to you, never wear brown in town.
Mm.
In fact, more correctly, never wear brown east of Ascot. I refer, of course, to brown shoes.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
This is with a suit. Obviously, without a suit, it doesn't matter. Like jeans,
yeah,
you obviously
sure,
don't
yeah.
wear a black shoe.
Like
look,
with a jean or something.
Yeah. So that's fine. A brown shoe's fine, but with a suit.
Yeah.
Sorry, with a suit. A barrister has reignited a debate about whether lawyers should wear brown shoes.
Oh, right.
They've not got anything else to do.
James Roberts, QC, tweeted, no, because it is the thin end of the wedge. It's like the civil service has definitely... gone downhill since they said, now you'd have to wear a tie. That's fine.
Really?
Of course it does. It's about standards. It's about actually getting yourself ready in the morning. And it's actually about getting into character. Like judges put a wig on, do all that, because they're actually not going to be themselves for the day. They're actually now something else. When you do the news, you do that ridiculous voice.
And I put a wig on.
Yeah,
so
no, you don't put a wig on, but you know what I mean.
A news wig.
Come on, you of all people. No, I'd love that if she did.
Yeah.
And if there was news of a celebrity death, it was the black cap.
Yeah.
You know, a little Sai doesn't, I mean, presumably you don't dress like that
No, he can't. No, he doesn't.
Anyway,
do that,
no, but it is. It is. It does make a difference. I mean, so you like to dress up according to your mood, and this sets the mood.
Right.
And you can't have someone in brown shoes. And also, if someone is wearing brown shoes with a suit, it really distracts you, doesn't it?
Your eye goes straight there.
It
doesn't
goes straight
it?
There.
Yeah,
you
might as well have pink socks on.
You see, I don't want a pink sock as long as with a black shoe.
Sure.
You just see it wiggling around in your peripheral vision, don't you? You sort of think.
Doesn't it depend on the colour of the suit?
No, it doesn't.
What about a brown suit with brown
shoes? No, because barristers, that's why they wear black suits generally, or a navy suit. But anyway, at Euston Station, just this is what he tweeted. At Euston Station, just seen something that doesn't look right. Brown shoes. Will contact British Transport Police.
Wow.
He said it was
an overreaction.
Well, even Frank Zappa wrote a song called Brown Shoes Don't Make It.
No, they don't.
He wasn't happy about brown shoes.
They really don't. Look, it's fine if you're in the country. And actually, after lunch on a Friday, I will, if someone's in a suit and I can see they're going to the country, I don't mind a brown shoe.
Sure. Okay.
For that end of that week.
Well, it's why actually, really, the Prince of Wales check started becoming fashionable. The Duke of Windsor originally was the Prince of Wales in question, also invented the Windsor knot.
Right.
Among other things. But he started wearing a Prince of Wales check.
On a lounge suit?
On a suit.
Yeah.
Because he was off to the country on a Friday. So in the city, it became a big thing on a Friday to show you had somewhere in the country to go on a Friday. instead of wearing a pinstripe, it became acceptable to wear a Prince of Wales check. But even then, a brown shoe is always revolting. You see people in like a navy suit with like, so I saw a chap the other day with a brown shoe with the two buckles on the side.
Oh,
do you know
man.
What I mean? Sick on them.
Oh my God.
83936, where do you stand on the debate?
Radio X.
Oh God. I'm afraid there is quite a ropey bunch out there.
There is dissent.
Well, sartorially naive.
You've lit the torch paper.
Yeah,
here,
Scott
you?
From Northampton, blue suit, always brown shoes.
What?
What? Well, for what? For what? Gazza's Wedding.
Great name for a band.
Yeah. The real problem you should be asking is these idiots to wear suit shoes with no socks. You're absolutely right. We agreed on that, Scott. But the blue shoes, mind you, you're in Northampton, not London. Strictly, it was in town. And
right.
By town, they meant London.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the provinces are all to themselves. Tom of Bristol sounds like a good man. I stand in black shoes on the debate.
Yeah.
That's where I stand.
He's taking a strong stand.
I just say, bloody right. Gav from Cumbria. Johnny, brown brogue shoes are where it's at. I wear mine all the time to teach the children of Britain. Versatile and sophisticated. It's Cumbria. It's fine.
Yeah. And you're not in a suit necessarily.
You're not in a suit. It's okay, Gav. Stand down.
Sure.
A brown brogue is fine for teaching children. A brown brogue is perfect if you've got, you know, separates.
Right, sure.
A jacket and trousers rather than a suit.
Mm. Like a jean or a cord.
Yeah, you could be. Could be a jean or a cord with
or a
tweed
linen.
Jacket. No, Santa.
Not a linen?
Linen
you
trousers.
Never teach in linen, for Christ's sake.
Nobody teaches in linen.
Where have you been? Malta?
Yes.
Right. although linen, remember, does... It can absorb 30% of its own weight in moisture before it shows any sign of it. That's why it's the winner for
clever.
That. Tough guy, John. My missus reckons brown shoes with a blue suit is the only way to go. She would fight you to death over it, Mike in Bolton. I'd like to do that.
Challenge accepted.
Mike in Bolton, I challenge your missus to a fight to the death. You tell your missus, it's on! And I really want that build. I might even ask, what's he called? Barry Hearn's boy. Promote
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Next up, please. Dr. Sons Templeton.
A beaver fit Paisley.
Aye, right here, beaver.
Says, afternoon, folks. One of my pals always wears brown brogues with any colour of suit. Idiot.
He's an idiot.
Yeah. Mondo in Glasgow reinforces that. He says, Johnny, the only way to go with a suit is a proper black brogue.
Mondo, absolutely right. With a suit, it is the only way to go. Unless, of course, you're wearing a tweed suit or Prince of Wales, in which case, okay, you can. If it's looking countrified, you can slip it on a Friday.
Sure.
But that's all we're allowing.
Yeah.
Brown shoe, blue suit is spot on. I refuse to take fashion advice from someone who dressed like a vicar to a wedding. Vicars always dress correctly, Johnny the Builder, so back off. And brown shoes with a blue suit. Okay. What's my point going to be about that?
Belt.
Yeah, what belt are you going with unless you've got sliders or you're wearing braces? What, are you going to team that brown suit on a nice great big brown belt?
On a suit?
Yeah, or are you going to have separate? Are you going to have a black belt with a brown
shoe.
You can't
have black belt,
right.
Brown shoes. That's yeah, just
that's
what's
so
going on.
Conspicuous.
That's
you're like a sandwich.
The whole of society would crumble.
No, you would. You look like some weird blue bread sandwich with a brown belt and brown shoes. That's all I'd see coming towards me. I just think, oh, Christ.
Rob in Oxfordshire says, as a military man, I can confidently say brown shoes should only be worn in service dress uniform. Or perhaps a pair of chinos when drinking in your favourite members' club.
That's Robin Oxfordshire. He's absolutely right. Mind you, army officers, they buy a brown shoe,
yeah,
which they then polish black.
With black boot polish.
With black boot polish. And it does look good, but all the life of that shoe, it then... but, you know, they're getting a bit muddy sometimes.
Sure.
And certainly an army boot's always invariably black. Certainly a drill boot. Right, Gav, next up.
Benny Deptford, he says, first of all, he says happy birthday to the 4 till 7 thing.
Love Happy birthday. All. Thank you very much.
He says, it's better than seeing commuters wearing a full suit with a pair of white running trainers.
Stop there, Gav. Stop there.
I hate that.
I just want to kick ass.
You look queasy. You actually gone pale.
Have I?
Yeah, you look
feel
like you
queasy.
Need a bucket next to you.
No, that's such an awful look. I tell you what else is awful as well. Brown trainers.
Oh, any black
Christ
or brown trainers.
Life.
That's the whole point of trainers.
What are they playing at?
They've got some white in them, surely.
Oh, no. In the old days, when at one stage, both hooligans and policemen were wearing Reebok Classics, and I started to see policemen wearing black Reebok Classics. I quite like that.
It reminds me of school
that looks
trainers,
like, no, just
though.
Looks like they're
gym
things.
Gym shoes.
Yeah. I've been debating this shoe issue for a while. And for my wedding, 1st of October, myself, best man and ushers will be in navy suits with dark tan shoes. What? Are you... crazy. You're getting married in brown shoes. It's not going to last.
Foolhardy.
You've now made me doubt this decision. Do I have to send them all back and swap them for black? Because yes, swap them all for black. I tell you why. Because otherwise, yeah, at the moment, people are going, it's far more fashionable. Yeah, so it's idiot hairstyles. Mm. And people look back and they're always fun. Look at our hair back then.
I can't believe what
And
I'm
you'll
wearing.
Look at those shoes. At least have one happy memory of the wedding. All right? No, one thing you don't look back on wistfully was your shoe choice. Get them all loafers, yeah? And get a nice matching sock that all of you are wearing. You and your best man should match, and then the ushers. Johnny, I can't tell you how much... This is further to the brown shoes are absolutely unacceptable with a suit in town. Mm. And I would say anywhere, unless of course tweed suit, but generally...
Sure.
Suits... I mean, let's rule out brown suits and things anyway, because we don't take that seriously. We're former German prime ministers, right? Like Helmut Kohl.
It's really 70s, isn't it?
Yeah, you just look like a hedge in autumn.
Or South American sort of tan-coloured suit.
It's just all a bit, you know, sort of thing a Danish royal would wear. Anyway.
The old Danish royal.
Send them to an alteration place. Get the trouser dry clean first. You don't want to someone who's doing a bit of a bit of needlework. You don't want him messing with a filthy trouser or a sullied trouser.
No, that would be rude.
No, you don't want that. You don't want him dealing with
sullied trousers.
Biological.
Sure.
He can just take that, remove the belt loops. They're now gone, out of sight, out of mind. No more hassle with a belt. A neat black shoe, sliders on the side, and hey ho, and off we go.
God, you'll be managing director within weeks.
Thanks. Get this. A belt is never acceptable with a suit. We now know how to dispense with that anywhere as a choice, as an item, as something you've got to also find before a wedding. Mm. You'd be hounded from the bar of your club and very likely horsewhipped on the steps for such a ghastly breach of protocol. Thank you for being such a beacon of standards in our troubled time. That's Jules in Shepherd's Bush. Jules, it's a pleasure. And it's nice, really, to get a text in from the sort of class of listener.
A reasonable listener.
When one endeavours to deliver radio of this quality, it is with the hope that one has listeners that are of such a standard they appreciate when one chooses to make a stand.
Absolutely.
And it seems that in the shape of Jules in Shepherd's Bush, one has accumulated such a listener. X.
Hi guys, it's Marcel, Jamie and Jake from the It's Not All Dad podcast.
Each week, join us as we navigate the world of parenting. Expect challenges, special guests, features from you, our listeners and more.
We're halfway through the series, so you have so much to catch up on. Listen now on Global Player or wherever you get your podcasts.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
Radio X.
This is the most obvious research in the history of obvious research and history.
Go on.
Pop music is, when it's catchy, it's called catchy because it literally spreads like a disease.
It's infectious.
It's infectious, yeah.
You're kidding.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
They researched that?
It spreads like a... It's catchy because it actually catches. Research.
So, in other words, if you play someone a piece of music and it's catchy,
and it's catchy,
they will also like it and play it to someone else, and it will sort of spread like a virus.
And guess what sort of music is the most catchy like that?
Is it
electronic? Yes,
electronic music, right?
And preferably with quite a repetitive hook in it.
That's the bleepy one,
repeated. Like... quite a lot of times.
Right, right.
So that it's catchy within one listen.
Okay.
Popular songs have R numbers and spread like diseases, scientists have found, calculating that electronica is the genre that leads to the fastest epidemics amongst fans. Especially, but apparently it happens a lot if people listen to the same radio station that plays them a hell of a lot.
Right. It spreads.
Yeah.
Wow.
Researchers used epidemiological modelling, usually reserved for monitoring the spread of diseases such as COVID, to analyse how catchy songs can be infectious.
It's incredible.
But wait, they end up being transmitted across large populations like viruses. I'm going to throw it out there. You could almost use the word... virally.
Yeah.
Couldn't you? You could almost use that.
Yeah.
Oh, they do. When we describe a good song as catchy or say that it's gone viral, we are right to use these terms.
Right.
Okay.
The Gangnam variant.
Yes. Yeah. No, we're right. No, it's catchy and it's gone viral. But we're right to use those phrases. You know, what gets me is that they're sort of going back saying that, like, that's not the thing that people thought of in the first place.
Right. Yeah, of course.
Like, watch it. That bug's a bit catchy.
Right, yeah.
For music, like the people who said that originally about music didn't know that. It's these sort of scientists today thinking, it's weird because they wouldn't have known that back then.
Yeah, because they never used to use phrases like, that tune spread like wildfire.
Yes.
They never used to think of that
spread like
stuff.
The flu, yeah.
Yeah, right.
Okay. The team from McMaster University in Ontario, which should be shut down now, analysed more than 60 million song downloads using Nokia's mixed radio music service.
Mm-hmm.
They took the 1,000 most downloaded songs, which spanned 11 genres.
Yeah.
They analysed the speed with which the song spread and they found out that...
Wow, that must have taken like the whole day.
Pretty catchy, yeah.
Catchy.
Well, they could have just literally called up a 12-year-old in Britain and got anyone to say yes.
Yeah.
They don't stop playing it. They found that those who enjoyed electronica song remained... they also found those who enjoyed an electronica song remained infectious for longer, playing and sharing songs for 199 days on average, compared with 93 days for hip-hop, 42 for soul and funk, and just 20 for pop. I can't believe funk's involved in this.
What?
Right?
What about rock?
Rock.
What about metal?
Yeah, what about metal?
Rock, it just says here, the scientists concluded that rock and roll won't never die. There we go. That's just what they concluded.
That's science, that is,
that's
Johnny.
Science, yeah. Even though it's a double negative.
It won't never die.
It won't never die, which means it will. Yeah. I've seen it on the back of someone's denim jacket once. And my dad says, he's got a double negative there, John. I said, why are you going to point it out to him, Daddy? I was able.
Radio X.
Every single Monday, the Woodman's hero is a man-eater, a creature that has man on its menu and who we should find frightening for that very reason. That's very with two Ds.
That's right.
Very.
Very dangerous.
He was very cross. Gav, what do you got?
This week, Johnny, it's the bull shark.
That is bull shark.
It is bull shark, otherwise known as the Zambezi shark or the Ganges shark or the shovel nose shark.
Zambezi.
They're found all over the world favouring warmer waters from Massachusetts all the way to Brazil, South Africa, Vietnam, Australia.
Gavin.
They're everywhere.
Gavin, how did they get up the Zambezi?
Well, listen, weirdly and uniquely, they can live in freshwater as well as seawater.
Bloody hell, double threat, isn't it?
They really are.
Especially you get that up your Zambezi.
They've been seen 2,200 miles up the Amazon once. They even as far up the...
Wait a second, a shark?
Yes.
2,000 miles up the Amazon?
And they're big, these things, these bull sharks. And
is that a bull shark?
It's absolutely not bull shark.
They're right up the Zambezi.
They also have no problem being in very shallow water. Very shallow water.
Nice.
It's one of the reasons why they have come up against man quite a lot.
Yeah,
because they're
in the
same, bit like the Nile crocodile, they're in the same place as people quite a lot.
Unlike the salty.
That's right.
Gav, can I just ask you?
Yeah, go on.
Which is, the salty is, that's the thing we're most frightened of.
Yeah.
Gav, should we be frightened of the bull shark?
Kind of, yes. They are the third most deadly shark on Earth after the great white and the tiger in terms of sheer numbers.
I wish there was shark in the Thames.
Oh, I know. They are aggressive and territorial. They don't mind shallow water. They're large and stout. The females are bigger. The biggest female on record was 13 foot long. They're grey on the top, white underneath, like a white shark. Hence, they get confused for white sharks quite often.
Great whites.
Why are they called the bull shark?
Yes.
They have a huge pair of horns.
Didn't
they? No.
I love them. They've got big balls.
No, it's because they're stocky, the shape of them. They're really stocky and broad, and they have a broad snout, and they are very aggressive and unpredictable in nature.
So like a bull. But it'd be amazing if they did have, unusually for a fish, cojones.
Oh, I'd love that.
Just dangling at the
back. Or even horns as well. It'd just be fantastic.
Horns and that.
Yes.
And they lived on land.
Yes.
And
people fought them with a cape.
Yeah, and they hung around with cows. You're describing a different animal. Gav.
Yeah.
Have there ever been any of these in the Tyne?
Probably.
I'd love it.
Although they don't like cold water, so it's unlikely.
If that was a very real thing Georgie's had to deal with.
Bull shark.
Aye, there's bull shark up there, man. Aye.
Pound for pound, the strongest bite of all cartilaginous fish.
Well, thanks, Gav. I gave you a chance to really, really flex.
I really did, yeah.
But also, Gav, cartilaginous.
Cartilaginous.
It's cartilaginous.
They're nothing on a salty, obviously, which has the strongest bite of any living animal.
Does it?
At 3,690
You didn't make
pounds
that clear.
Yes, I did, no.
Well.
The bull shark has a 1,330-pound foot bite. So it's the strongest pound for pound for its
What's
size.
An English Mastiff got?
I can't remember. High hundreds, I think.
I like it when you get it in perspective with that.
Sure. I think it's about 700.
Jeff, I think, is about 5,000.
What do they prey on, Johnny? Fish, smaller sharks, stingrays, turtles, dolphins, and birds.
And
like the Nile croc, they are more dangerous to humans because they're more likely to contact humans. In 1916, the New Jersey shark attacks that took 4 people were what Jaws were based on, and those were bull sharks.
Wow,
not white
so
sharks.
Jaws is a load of bull shark.
That's right. Historically, according to statistics, there's been about 117 confirmed bull shark attacks, 27 fatal. What preys on bull sharks? White sharks and salties. That's it.
Is it?
Yeah, that's
nice,
it.
Nice. I'd like to see, well, it'd be exciting to see all 3 in a tank.
Absolutely, right. Let's salute the bull shark.
The bull shark. Johnny Vaughan, 4 till 7, we salute you on Man Eating Monday. Thank you very much indeed, Gav. You left out that crucial thing in that list of things it preys on.
Yeah.
Man.
X.
The Paul Chowdhury Podcast.
What's happening?
Paul talks to comedians, musicians, broadcasters, and more.
This podcast has a 100% open door policy. So some might also view this as me saying yes to every guest that I'm offered, which I did.
Get the Paul Chowdhury Podcast now.
Just do what you need to do. Press like, subscribe. I don't know what you got to do these days to get your stuff, but do it.
You can just get it from Global Player right now.
Radio.
X.
Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
A third of the world's threatened species of birds and mammals. Guess what's the biggest threat to them? Guess what the threat to them? A third of the world's most threatened species of birds and mammals could be harmed by this.
Well, is it a climate change issue? Yeah.
Yes, it is. Yes.
Right.
Go on, Gav.
Diesel cars.
Nope.
Is it Bitcoin mining?
Nope.
Is it Instagrammers?
Nope.
Is it...
Why Instagrammers?
You know, like influencers and stuff.
Yeah.
Because they're going into habitats.
Yeah, yeah.
To
I'd like
take
to say,
pictures.
Yeah, it is. Go and get one tonight.
Is it?
So you hunt them down, since, and you stick them in the back of a car, and you dump them somewhere.
Is it
that's
shipping?
Exactly, that's exactly what it is, since. It's influencers.
Is it logistics?
No, you're right. No, it's influencers.
Is it that guy with the jetpack arms? Is he ruining
You've
the
read
atmosphere?
The article, haven't you? No, of course it's not. Come on.
What?
83936. Let's see if anyone can get this right.
Is it Greg Wallace? No?
No, it's not Greg okay. Wallace, but I'd love to give you that as well. It's Greg Wallace and an influencer he knows.
Cats.
No, it's not cats. There's lots of people have guessed cats, like Kevin Southampton. Come on. Sorry. I've just said to them that a third of the world's threatened species of birds and animals are harmed by this. This is the source of the harm of what threatens them. Carry on.
Space travel.
No, it's not space buddy travel. It's not biofuels. It's not alligators, sharks and chickens either. Someone else's text. Wind turbines, Teague, says, sorry, Teague. Says Rory in Kent. No, it's not Rory in Ghent.
Is it crocodiles? Someone
no, it's
asking.
Not.
Is it the candles on birthday cakes?
No, it's
oh,
not the candles
guess.
On birthday cakes. Neither
all
is it the gull smoke. Or the squiven. As other people have text. Humans, yes, obviously.
Sure.
It's not crocodiles again coming in.
No.
It's not voiceovers. Do you know what? I'm going to leave it open. None of you have got it. What? Is it internet banking? Is it? No, it's not Mr. Lardy-Da Gunnar Graham.
Is it Brown Brogues?
No, it's not Brown Brogues. Is it all the Bullshida erupting from your co-presenter's cake holes?
It could be.
Could be. It could be.
It could be.
It's
yeah.
not cake either. 83936, please stop saying wind turbines. It's not wind turbines.
I
right?
guessed that earlier and I still wasn't
not
right.
That.
Yeah, I still don't know. What
neither
is it?
Neither is it radio frequencies or whatever, radio waves. Or phones, or mining internet, or bit currencies.
Oh, is it circuses?
Oh, you're such a... Honestly. Someone else is just texting, do the chicken.
It's pathetic. Do the chicken.
Listen, we're back in a second. No, it's not. Sorry, 83936.
Oh, they keep coming in.
A third of the world's threatened species could be harmed by and are threatened by.
Mm.
Is it bovine bum?
Mm.
No, it's not treacle chops.
Perry says, got to be farmers. Gotta
no,
be.
It's not HMRC, Sunter.
Stu in Sussex says, pesticides?
No.
Pickled eggs?
No.
Ollie says, is it wannabe magicians?
No, it's not wannabe magicians.
The is reintroduction it... of the beaver?
No, it's not the reintroduction of the beaver either.
Is it the general ennui?
Who put that?
No, no.
That's ridiculous. No, it's not the general ennui.
Is it pickled eggs sold in pubs?
No. It's neither is it Little Simon's tank top. Honestly, the bloody suggestions, Gav. We put this out here. Loads of you had said farmers. It's not as well. Is it Kirsty also? No. She endangers the whole planet.
Oh.
Is it illegal endangered species fighting?
No, it's not.
Says Red in Staines.
Ian wants to know if it's the upcoming John Lewis Christmas advert.
Oh. No, Mr. Schroeder, is it not? Is it ragging on TJ's ass? It will be if it carry on. It's going to threaten more than a third of the world's species.
Someone
it's
else wants to
it's
know.
It's going to threaten every mother.
Is it Glenn Hoddle, maybe?
Spanking the pliers themselves. Yeah. Look at the pliers. He's run his little legs. He's tiny. Look,
is
a
it
bit magic.
No.
A dump valve from my XR3 Escort?
Have you got
no.
a Mark 3 since?
Is it coral reef expansion? No. Another person says just Glenn again. Is it the West Tamar fishing fleet of doom, says John in Chislehurst? No.
Is it calamari and wine?
No, it's not calamari and wine. And it's not do the chicken. Is it limited broadband access? No.
Is it Frank Butcher's spinning tie?
No!
Is it the Cornish?
No! It's not the Cornish.
Goths.
No! No it's not Alanis Morissette on the rampage either.
Is it wannabe magicians?
No! Is it Facebook posts about climate change, says Andy in Great Waltham? No! Unpaid gambling debts?
John,
no!
What is it?
What the hell is it?
Is it dynamite fishing? No!
Wow.
Bread, John. Is it squirrels?
Industrial meat industry?
Industrial meat. Good, it's not meat processing. It's not that. Or indeed, Lee.
Is it kissing the ferret?
No, oh it's not
God.
Kissing the ferret. Is it all the crud we send to space using magic balloons? No.
Is it the exhaust from my 09 Toyota Hilux, says your Rory.
No.
Is it Chuck Norris?
No.
Is it Cornwallians,
no.
asks Mark
no.
in
no.
Dalton.
No, neither is it asteroids.
Is it GM's beer?
No, it's not GM's beer. Is it Radio X DJs dragging out a feature? No, it's not. Neither is it Jeremy Clarkson.
Is it Frank Butcher's spinning tie?
Madness.
Says Tony in Gillingham in Kent. No.
Is it pensioners?
No.
What is it?
What is it?
I don't know. I just don't know whether to tell you or not.
You have to tell us now.
No, it's not the Germans. It's not pixie dust. It's not the manufacturing of slacks.
Isn't it?
No, it's not the steam from P45 when you gurn heavy or gurn home. That's go hard or go home. Yeah, and actually, shut up.
The steam.
Is it the new format? No.
No.
Is it gun-toting rat? Is it statistics?
Is it saltwater squirrels?
Is it gun-toting rabbits?
Is it spam?
Is it watching your gran eating a chocolate eclair? No.
What?
Seagulls.
Please tell us what it is.
I'll tell you what. I don't know. It might be an anticlimax, but it's not any of the things you said so far. I'll tell you what it is. It's Chinese banks.
What?
There we go.
Chinese banks, because they're funding all sorts of stuff. God. There we go. I know.
Was a bit of an anticlimax.
It was in the end, yeah.
All seems rather silly now. Right, let's have a...
Radio X.
Right, here's a triple threat. You ready?
Go on.
One. I mean, irony like you want it, right? Mm-hmm. If there's one thing that sort of marks this era out, it's the problem with CO2, right? With carbon dioxide.
Yeah.
As being too abundant.
Right.
How?
That's all we've heard.
How? Yeah. Not only is Britain, we've got drought in the Lake District, given we've had floods.
After loads of rain, yeah.
But can you believe it? Britain is short of CO2. Jesus.
How can anywhere be short of
CO2?
Yeah, I thought we were worrying about that.
Right. How important is CO2? Well, about 600,000 tonnes of CO2 are consumed across the UK each year. With the gas playing a central role in the food and drink sector, as well as the National Health Service. The meat processing... Ethical meat processing.
There's been a lot of people on recently talking about the ethical killing of animals using CO2.
Yeah.
I think it's been a bit of an eye-opener.
Considering how they're doing it with chickens now, they're just lowering them into a water bath now that's full of electricity.
Oh.
That's how they're just... That's how they're doing it now.
Are they really?
No CO2 to make them a bit drowsy.
Wow.
No, just the old electric waters. Whew. Yeah, Kentucky electric chicken.
Oh, don't.
Yeah.
How did they even think of that?
It'll be a new dance craze. Yeah. Just doing the electric chicken.
It will be.
It'll be one of those sort of new, it's like southern funk.
It will, yeah.
I'll do the electric chicken. Do the electric chicken. Anyway, let's move on. So the meat processing industry, that's the big one.
Right.
They use it to stun about 15 million birds.
Unbelievable.
And about 150,000 pigs a week. They also use it to grow crops, such as cucumbers.
Right.
Where else is it used? Well, I'll tell you.
Go on.
It's required to produce dry ice, so it's essential for gigs.
Right.
It's used for beer.
Wait.
Is it?
But it's mainly used for... A lot of R&B acts use it to walk onto.
Right.
Also,
goth bands.
Go
on.
Also, a lot of reveals on ITV shows.
Yes.
So they could really suffer.
Well, they go for walk a lot out.
In
yeah,
that
yeah.
sector, yeah. they could really be suffering. There's going to be no more dry ice. They're going to have to rely on pirates.
Oh, my
now.
God.
I know some people So it also puts the fizz into soft drinks and beers. It's used to pump beer and sodas out of the line in pubs.
Right.
Where else it's used? Ocado delivery vans use it, keep stuff a bit fresh.
Okay.
Also dry ice used by the NHS to transport blood and tissues.
Right.
That's not two tissue paper. Yeah. That's fine. Yeah, boys. Yeah. You don't need it for that. But sure. So there you go. But those chickens, they're definitely missing it as they're lowered into those electric baths.
They must be.
Stop it.
Right, I was going to bring you two other stories, but you know what? I can have those throughout the hour. I've got two more stunning stories. But do we all feel we know a little bit more about CO2?
Yes.
I hope so. Especially those chickens.
Yeah.
Yeah. Down you go, lads.
X. Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing. Radio X.
Okay, I've just got another page of Royal News. Obviously, there's Kate. She's abseiling. She's just wonderful, isn't she? You wouldn't see the other one do that, the one in California.
Abseiling.
That princess wouldn't do that.
Really?
She'd be too busy, like, you know, doing something more fashionable. Kate just cycling, then she's on a boat. Bit of abseiling.
It's proper Famous Five stuff, isn't it?
Wonderful. There's also a great story on this Royal page about Prince Philip, who tried to take Prince Charles driving. That's carriage driving. but Prince Charles wouldn't take it seriously enough and just started laughing the whole way through.
And
Prince
Philip didn't like
just went
that,
mad.
Yeah. Oh, really?
He just couldn't believe his dad took it this seriously when he was just like driving a carriage and he's like just making stupid noises like giddy up. Going, giddy up! And his father got really, really cross.
Stupid boy.
Incidentally, Balmoral Nevis and Notlaw Storm, both born in 2008, they both attended his funeral.
Oh.
Yeah, they were at the back. They were wearing quite nice suits, actually, for horses.
Yeah. Good horses.
There's nothing wrong with a horse wearing a suit and tie.
No, no,
sometimes
no.
They can just blend in.
Sure.
Also, there's silence from Andrew. And they're saying the Duke of York, you know, he's remained silent.
Mm.
And they're saying this is a bad thing. I don't know. Have you seen him talk about it?
Yeah.
I don't know which is yeah. You've got to say it's which is worse.
Right, right.
Silence.
Sure.
Or him chatting.
Yeah.
I think probably the best thing for him to do is disappear for a very long time. but here's the main story. Are you ready for this?
Go on.
A horse extravaganza that will be held next year to mark the Queen's 70 years on the throne will be one of Her Majesty's favourite moments of her Platinum Jubilee. But just be on the safe side, the organisers are making sure they have a lavatory sludge gulper on standby because there was nearly a disaster a few years ago.
Sludge gulper.
Sludge gulper.
Okay, 19 years ago.
Is that a metal band?
Yeah, sludge gulper. It's a great name for a metal band, isn't it? Are you ready for this? What happened was... In the Golden Jubilee, the royal party, which included the Earl and Countess of Wessex, like vultures, aren't they?
The Wessex.
Just always around a disaster, aren't they? You know when the science is about to go wrong, Pavel, if Eddie...
The Wessex.
If Eddie's there. It's just people think, oh, it's only the Wessex. It's not even as they are. Anyway, there's not even a place called Wessex. You might have called him, like, the Marquess of Mercia.
Yeah, right.
You know.
Yeah, it's an...
Yeah. Made him a Saxon king. Anyway, listen.
Camelot.
They nearly received a sudden drenching, when the roof over them threatened to collapse during a sudden downpour.
Right.
So the Queen and everyone, they've all been sitting there.
Yeah.
They've got one of those temporary roofs. They've had a downpour of biblical deluge.
Mm.
Someone said, I've hardly seen rain like it at Windsor. Yeah, I bet you could tell some stories.
And would tell them.
Yes. Disaster was only avoided as so one of those sort of big plastic roofs full of rain is about to literally empty on the Queen.
Oh, my God.
Without the Queen knowing it, they used a suction device normally used to empty portable loos.
Right.
They put it in there, this sort of the big pipe.
The sludge gulper.
Is that the sludge gulper?
The sludge gulper. And they managed to gulp all the water away. I'll tell you something, though. You press reverse on that tab.
Oh,
mine, mine.
You don't want to know.
Mine.
Yeah.
Got, right?
Wow.
That's a bad scene.
Can you imagine that?
Imagine being the sludge gulper guy after Glastonbury.
I'm just saying, Gav, if that had happened, that would literally have been a show.
It would.
It really would have been.
Literally.
We could have literally had a right royal show. Radio X. Are you ready, Gav?
Yeah.
We've all got that friend or colleague that takes lying to the next level. Next level liars. They're the masters of actually an ancient art. They're untruth smiths. They are.
The ancient way.
It's the way of the untruth. It's an art called Bushido. We've had things like Martin, who reckons he can breathe through his ears. Although I have met people who reckon... I've met quite a few people who can
I've
do
heard that one.
And have sort of proved it.
Well, they sort of wiggle their ear.
Yeah,
and
I don't know. Yeah. The guy in school, he had a toy Death Star that he could blow up chairs with.
I really want one of those.
I really want one of those as well. And Steve's dad, who befriended a seagull and said he trained it to do aerobatic manoeuvres. That's as opposed to someone's dad, who's actually not called Steve, but got his kids to call him Steve when he was out and about because he thought it was just cooler.
It's more fun, on holiday.
So you go, Steve, like this, and then tell him, I go, all right, what was his real name?
I can't
remember. It's like Chris or something, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Right, send your Bullshido stories, 83936, or tweet at Radio X. Let's see what's going on in the Dojo of Deceit. So, Templeton.
This has come from Warren, who's in New York.
What does Warren say?
Warren says, my dad used to tell my brother and I that he invented the exclamation mark and the semicolon.
Wow, the semicolon is a beaut. It's very rarely used.
But not the colon.
No.
No.
Yeah, it's quite. That's really root one Bullshido, isn't it?
Well, no one knows what the semicolon's for. I mean, I know it's two things in the same sentence that are utterly different and should normally be in the same sentence. But for some reason, you decide to lay a semicolon on someone just so they think, Why did he do that?
What? Yeah. I always think it means IE.
No, it doesn't.
No.
Yeah. A colon is, well, you could literally go general, colon, specific.
Right.
It's a demarcation between the general
to bring it down
and the specific.
To a specific case.
A semicolon is two different subjects in the same sentence that you just want to split up just utterly randomly. And you sort of think, no.
And a comma's not enough, yeah.
No, comma wouldn't be enough because that's parenthetical, or sure. It can be. No, Gav, this is way different. This is literally, so you could just use another sentence.
Sure.
But you think, no, I'm not going to bother. I'm going to stick a semicolon there. Look like I really know my way around the... Right, grammar.
Well, Warren's dad was lying, no doubt about
it. There's no doubt about it at all. Thank you very much. Warren in New York. Wish I knew how to use a semicolon. I tried to use one once.
I know.
In a letter to my mother, but she said, why'd you use that semicolon?
She didn't.
It was bullshit.
Brilliant.
Right, Gav.
This is from JD of Norwich. He says, hey, TJ, we have a bloke at work who was apparently 1 mile an hour off the motorbike land speed record.
Wow. Nice, yeah.
He told us when he was supposed to be returning to Nevada Salt Flats to beat that record, and we wrote it into the calendar.
Nice.
When we confronted him about the trip, he told us it was cancelled because he couldn't ship his own special blend of fuel over to America.
That's fantastic.
Thinking
blend.
On his feet there,
it's
yeah.
It's a secret.
Yeah, special
what's in my blend.
Fuel, yeah.
Okay. Just to say to you, yeah, in case you're all going to start, you know, getting on me about semicolon, it's yeah. a punctuation mark. This is what Warren in New York claims is. Who is it invented it?
His father.
His father. Yeah. Indicating a pause, typically between two main clauses
right.
within one sentence, yeah?
Okay.
One's more, it's more pronounced by a comma. But not, sorry. Two main clauses. It's more pronounced than that indicated by a comma.
Yeah.
So it's more than...
Bigger
just,
pause,
It's
yeah.
more than just a comma,
right.
but less than a full stop.
Oh,
you're saying, does that deserve a full stop? No. Is a comma enough?
It's not
no.
enough.
I mean, Christ alive. No wonder it's a dying key, that
yeah.
one. Okay, here we go. This is from Tommy the Spark. My apprentice, Lewis, just told me that his uncle did a bit of painting and decorating at Buckingham Palace. To make up for the extra hours he works, the Queen said she'd pay for an all-expenses holiday anywhere in the world. He chose Benidorm. Well, that's the best.
Amazing.
Send us your book. That is Bullshido. Send us your Bullshido stories to 83936. Or at Radio X.
Radio X.
That was our podcast. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button now. You get the 4 till 7 thing downloaded straight to your device every Friday. If you've made it this far, why not tell a friend about us? Or perhaps take an ad out in your local paper. People still read local papers. Anything to help with the download numbers. Thank you very much. If you want to get in touch, email johnny@radiox.co.uk. Thank you so much. And I meant that about telling your friends. It's so important. They're really, really getting at us about our podcast numbers. Evidently, people just listen to the show and think, that's it. That's the end of my relationship each day. It's not. You need to go home and get the podcast as a sort of thank you for the free entertainment we've offered, unlike the sodding BBC. Happy place.